I wanted to share that with you, if you would. Now, in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, before I read two verses as our text, I just want to say for all you that when someone's up here reading all the names in the Bible, if you'd like to read the first three chapters and part of the fourth, I will sit down while you read those, and you can impress us on all those names if you'd like to have a shot at reading some of these names, as me and Brother Eric and different ones have. Now, he does a lot better job at it than I do, and he may be able to do it, but I was looking at all those names, and it's descendants from Adam, and it comes down to Jabez, and he looks at his descendants and looks at the lineage that he's in, and where he came from. And let me say this. We people of America, we need to understand how good God has been to our country. Nothing makes me madder than to see a bunch of these liberal people that's never worked a hard day in their life running the country down. And all they do is stick their hand out, want handouts. And all they do is badmouth the country about how bad it is and how bad our forefathers was. And it just makes me sick to my stomach. I'm still of the opinion, and I've never changed, if you don't like this country, there's a lot of other countries you can go to. Just load up and head out that way. But instead, what they're fixing to do, if we're not very careful and only by God's grace keep them from doing it, is they want to destroy this country, and absolutely they're going to destroy it if they keep on the path that they're going right now. It will absolutely be destroyed. But I thank God that I've got a country I'm going to. I'm just going to take each day as it comes. I don't know what we may have to go through, but I'll say this. In looking at the fact that I was born in America, in looking at the fact of my ancestors and what family I was born in, I just want to take a moment and just tell God that I am so truly thankful. And I feel very blessed to have grown up the way God allowed me to grow up and where he allowed me to grow up. And I'm afraid many times we forget that. Your Bibles, and keep your Bibles open. We want to go to a few places. I want to break this prayer down to four things. But in verse 9, and Jabez, and by the way, this is the only place we find Jabez. We don't know a lot about him. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. So right off the bat, we find out that Jabez was born in adversity. In other words, she had a lot of issues, a lot of sorrows. Don't know exactly whether it was painful birth, whether it was sorrow, other things going on that she was in sorrow about. But anyway, he was born in adversity. And you know, the amazing thing about this country is this. You can be born of adversity, and if you're willing to work hard and do what you need to do, anyone can make a good living in this country as it's been in the past. Now, I don't know where the future is going to take us, but in the past, it's been possible to do that. God's been awful good to us. But here in verse 10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. First of all, I want you to notice the first part in verse 10. He says, oh, that thou would bless me indeed. Let me ask you this. How has God blessed you? Many times we eat, we ask God to bless our food. Sometimes we ask God to bless our children. Sometimes we ask God to bless others. But you know, sometimes we think there's something wrong with asking God to bless us. But here, Jabez, he prayed that God would bless him. And a lot of times we forget, without the blessings of God, where would we be? You know, I often wonder, what if I was living in China? What if I was living in Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan? What if I was living in Russia? I wonder where I would be right now. I wonder what I would be right now. And so to be able to stand here and know that God has truly blessed me to be able to hear his word, to be able to be saved, and have liberty to come to a church and grow up in the church, I feel very blessed. Now, to bless, it means to be honored by, to be showed and given gifts and blessings and honor. And so back in the Old Testament, the fathers would bless their sons, and they would give them birthrights, and they'd give them inheritance and so forth, and they would bless them. Now, David, if you look in Psalms 103, verse 2, David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." We know that we are to bless God. We are to bless God because of how good he's been to us. We need to praise him and bless God with our souls, if you sit and think how good God's been to you. But here, he's talking about asking God to bless us. Look, if you would, keep your finger here and go with me to the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 10. In Proverbs chapter 10, notice what the Bible says in verse 22. "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh" what? "Rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." Now, a lot of people, what they do is they bounce on this word, and these prosperity preachers tries to benefit themselves. They claim that verses like this is why they're billionaires and millionaires, that they're depriving people of their money, and they're conning people out of their money and making themselves filthy rich, and they're living like movie stars and millionaires and billionaires, flying around in jet planes. And they claim that God wants them to be rich, and that's a sign of God's blessings. But we know that here he's talking about rich being more things than monetary things. For instance, in James chapter 1, turn there a moment if you would. I know you've heard this verse many times, but you need to underline this verse in your Bible. In James chapter 1, notice verse number 17. What's the first word? Every. What does every mean? All of them. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? And cometh from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variance, neither shadow of turning. So, first of all, we need to realize everything good in your life. Now, stop just a minute. And I'd like to ask you, just seriously, stop a minute. How many good things do you have? I'm not talking about cars and houses. I'm talking about how many good things has God given you? Things that you just take for granted. Those are blessings of God. Somebody said, "Well, when I see someone complaining about this, you just turn around and look, you see someone so much worse off." And I remember when Chris, her brother was killed in a car wreck, and the guy with him was in serious condition, and you know, and someone made the statement that it was terrible how hurt he was, and things that he would have to learn to do all over again. And someone said, well, at least you have him. And sometimes you can stop and you can look and realize that there's always someone a whole lot worse off. But if you stop and think, every good thing that you've been able to experience in your life has come from God. He could have took it from you, but he gave it to you. He gives all. Everything that you've got has been given to God by God. And so therefore, what we do is we just don't appreciate those. And what the devil wants us to do is think that we are the source of our blessings, when in fact it's God. You know, you say, well, I train my body. Well, bodily exercise profit little. It may profit you some. I'm not against that. I know how good it makes you feel, and I know that it can benefit. But again, I knew a guy that used to run. He used to run miles and miles every morning. Fell over dead. Thought he's in perfect shape. And so you never know. God's in charge of that. All rich people, sometimes people think because someone's rich that they've been blessed by God. But all riches are not always a blessing. Riches can be a curse. When you read Psalms chapter 73, it's obvious that everybody that's rich is not blessed with God. When you read Luke chapter 16, would you rather be the rich man, or would you rather be Lazarus? I know which one I want to be. You say, well, dogs were licking his sores. They were then, they're not anymore. But I bet that rich man would trade places with him in a heartbeat. So just because you see someone with some money doesn't mean that God's blessing them. And all these prosperity preachers, just because they have diamond rings on every finger and they have jet planes, doesn't mean God's blessing them. What it means is that you've got a lot of people in their congregations that are deceived. They're being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. If they are saved, they're still babes in Christ. They should have grown out of that. They should have been able to understand and be able to see and not be deceived through those little simple things that they do to try to deceive those people. God doesn't guarantee financial prosperity to any of us. He doesn't have to give it. He doesn't promise us, because many of us, be honest with you, if we were very rich, it'd probably destroy us. I know I've had some people that came to church at times, and they say, well, pray about that I get this promotion in the job. You get promotion in the job, you don't see them no more. Don't tell me that was for God's glory. And so sometimes it just doesn't. But turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1. Have you ever stopped much and think, Paul here, he's thinking about how he's been blessed. Begin reading with me, if you would, in verse number 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. I'll give you just a second to get there. Notice, if you would, in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath what? Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Have you ever stopped to think God could have just saved us? But let's see what all he's blessed us with. Verse number 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So look here. Before the foundation of the world, he done knew how we would be saved, and he done knew after we were saved how we would be justified, how we'd be sanctified, and how eventually we'd be glorified. And he would give us and make us, and even though we would be fallen creatures in sin from Adam, he would make us and give us bodies where we could live eternally with him without sin. Did you ever stop to think about that? What a blessing that's going to be. Look in verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So what he did was he took us because of sin, and because, as he writes here in chapter 2, that we were children of wrath in verse 3 and children of disobedience in verse 2 of chapter 2. And so he took us from that parenthood of being children of the devil, and he has brought us and adopted us into the family. Someone said adoption is so much better because they know who you are, and yet they still want you. And so therefore, that's what God did. He knew who we were. And yet he still made a way to bring us into his family and call us sons and daughters and call us joint heirs with Christ. Can you imagine that? Look, if you would, in verse number 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. In other words, again, folks, never rest upon yourself with your salvation. Always rest upon the grace of God. That's why you're saved. That's why you're eternally saved. Because it's not you keeping yourself saved. It is God and his grace through the beloved that keeps you saved. Look, if you would, in verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And so therefore, when we get to heaven, in verse 7 of chapter 2, we are going to be trophies of his grace. They're going to look at us and they're going to say, man, the angels are going to say, they were sinners. But look what they are now, after God gets through with us. And it's all going to be because of the redemption of the blood of Jesus Christ. Look, if you would, in verse 8. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were what? Sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, if you read chapter 4, verse 30, I believe it is, he says that we are sealed until the day of redemption. In other words, we have been given the Holy Spirit and sealed with the Holy Spirit until we are redeemed. The Holy Spirit that we possess right now is an earnest or a down payment. That's why I believe in some form or fashion, it may be in place of our blood that the Holy Spirit runs through our glorified body, or it may be some other way, but I believe we will be full of the Holy Spirit in heaven, however that may be. And because the Bible says what we have right now is just an earnest, a down payment of what it's going to be when we get our full glorified bodies. Amen? So, therefore, what we need to realize is that God has blessed us in many ways. Now, Jabez here, looking out over his past, remember, he probably looks back at Abraham and see when in chapter 12, I believe it's around verse 2 or somewhere, where God tells him that he is going to bless Abraham. And, of course, another one of his forefathers, Jacob. Remember when Jacob was battling and struggling with the angel, and he said, I'll not let go till you bless me? And so, therefore, he was asking for the blessing of God. And, of course, we look back as well. I'll turn, if you would, while you got your finger in 1 Chronicles and going over chapter 29, 1 Chronicles. And notice David, I was reminded of this verse the other night when you all so heartily gave unto Brother Jolly in his time of need. Look, if you would, in chapter 29. Now, David is building the temple, and he's asking people to come and willingly bring and give something to the Lord for the temple of God. Notice here, if you would, in verse number 9. Then the people received, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Now look here. That's how you give things to God, with great joy. I often say, if you don't want to give it, keep it. If I take a love offering up for someone or something, and you don't want to give, just keep quiet, keep it in your pocket, and go on. I'd rather you keep it than give it and begrudge that you gave it. If you're going to give it, God wants you to give it willingly. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. If you have to be beaten to bring you tithes and offerings to the house of the Lord, then God gets no pleasure out of that. He wants you to be willing. Because you know really what tithe is? A tithe is recognition that all things come from God. And a tithe is a recognition that God has been good to you, and he doesn't ask me to tithe the same thing Brother Junior does or Sister Linda does. He says, as God has prospered us that week, on the first day of the week, we need to bring it in. We need to give. Lay up in store for those who might need it. But look on, if you would, in verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Thine, O God, our Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is a kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort, for all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee? In other words, he said, who was we that you even give this and allowed us to have this? You know, I think that all the time. Sometimes when I sit, and especially I know of, Brother Eric, your family's been to Ecuador, and I've been into Panama, I've been in Costa Rica, and I've gone down into the Indian reservations down there. And I've seen people that ate a handful of rice and drunk either water out of the river or coffee. And there was a plantation that spread, and they did that every day, one time a day. I also saw where they would sit on a rock. We built a tabernacle. We made rocks, logs, whatever we could sit in. And for the whole week, they sat there. And except for breaking for the rice, 12 hours a day, listening to preaching and singing and rejoicing. And I thought to myself when I was over there, I wonder if people came in this house and there was rocks and logs and no air conditioning, and I asked you to sit for 12 hours. Wonder what the response would be. Sometimes we forget how good God is. I preach at a church of over 700. The guy told me, he said, if you'll come up and preach in my church before you go back over to Costa Rica. He was in the northern part of Panama, I was in the southern part. He said, I'll keep you from riding that 17-hour bus ride. And he said, we'll get you a plane and fly you back to Costa Rica. I said, man, that sounds good. Because that bus ride was a long ride up and down them old mountains. So when I got there, he had a church about 700 people. They took my offering up. I've told you all this. $44.36. $44.36. I told Chris, I said, I talked to her after that, and I said, because I was in a place where I get out with phone, I said, I'm going to have to spend some money here trying to get back to Costa Rica. And it cost a plane ticket was $250. But then when I walked out there to the plane, it was rusty, shaking and vibrating. And looked like the bolts was coming out of it. It had room for about 8 people in it. And I said, Lord, it's all this. How little we thank God. And you know, if anybody ought to be coming on Sunday morning and saying, Lord, I want to give to the work, it ought to be us. And David said, I'm so proud. I rejoice. But God, who are we that you put us in such a position to be blessed to be able to? And they were proud of that $44.39. They were proud of it because they were pulling their pennies out and they were giving all they had. And I thought, my. But I'll tell you the greatest blessing I had there during invitation. And by the way, our church service that night lasted about 3.5 to 4 hours. There was 400 people or more on the altar. And that was worth more than any amount of money in the world. But notice if you would, David said, for we are strangers before thee, verse 15, and sojourners as were our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee a house for thy holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine. So therefore we need to remember that that's what it's all about. It's realizing that everything that we have, everything that we've done, God's give us. And I'm not encouraging like these prosperity preachers to make me rich or make anyone else rich. I don't want, and I'll be scared to death to steal from God's money or the pretense of God's money. And someday they'll get their just due. But the love of money is a root of all evil. And so therefore, when we pray, you say, well, should we pray for God's blessings? Yes, but he tells us to pray according to his will in 1 John 5:14. And seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then God will provide these other things for you. How many times has God provided you something that you needed in a time when you needed it? Boy, he has me, amen? Now, so Jabez was here as well, and that's what he did. The second thing, notice that he says in his prayer, he says, oh, thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. In other words, what does it mean, enlarge his coast? Well, back then, the bigger area that you had, the more influence that you had, and the more responsibility you have. But what he was asking for is that he would enlarge the ability, enlarge the ability he had to reach out. Now, I want you to get this a moment, and I want you to think about this just a minute. Of course, in the Bible, you have two, the Old Testament, you have the New Testament. Abraham, and through the Jews, was to become about the Messiah. And that's where Jesus come down through the lineage of them. But Jesus then was going to begin the church. Salvation was of the Jews, but then the church is taking the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we are given the commission to preach it to the whole world. When we pray that God would bless us, we need to ask God as well, like Jabez, that he would enlarge our coast. By enlarging our coast is to allow us to reach out beyond the normal frame of what we're doing in life. When you went to Ecuador, now it doesn't matter how long you, but how many lives was affected? You know, I think about when I went down to Panama. I was only down Panama maybe 7 or 8 days. But I got to see 139 people walk the aisle. I got to be part of the ones that baptized them. I got to baptize 38 of them in the San Felix River. And you know, I'll probably never see those folks again the rest of my life. But I was able to enlarge my coast. I would never got to go somewhere place like that. But God allowed me to enlarge my coast and go over and to be able to touch someone. And that's where we need to do. You know, it may be on your jobs and other things, but there's times when you go to a job or something and you never mention it, and maybe just talking about, praying about. And you'll be surprised how many times when you're really asking God and praying God to enlarge your coast, enlarge your ministry. And by the way, we all have ministries. God give every one of us gifts. But when you start praying, asking God to enlarge it, it might be amazing how God prepares some heart to hear what you got to say. I cannot tell you how many times I'm knocked on the door and somebody said, "Preacher, I was just asking God to send somebody my way to help explain something. Or I just need someone to come and pray." You never know. And so therefore, remember Philip? When the church first started, they thought it was all Jews. Then Philip was sent to Samaria. He enlarged his coast. God showed his stamp of approval. He put his seal upon them by baptizing them in the Spirit, Holy Spirit. He also then sent Peter to Cornelius' house. And by the way, the Samaritans were half Jews and half Gentiles. And so God put his stamp of approval on them, bringing them into the church. Then, of course, an amazing thing to me in chapter 8 is when the Holy Spirit moved Philip to leave Samaria and go out to a desert place. And guess what? There he was going to meet a eunuch that was going to go back to Africa and enlarge his coast a little further. Then Peter went to the house of Cornelius. Gentiles being able to be brought, those dogs coming into the church. God put his stamp of approval again upon it. He sent Peter to it. He said, "What I've made clean is not unclean." And he put his stamp of approval upon it, and therefore they as well was baptized with the Holy Ghost. And he put his seal upon the fact that they were brought in to the church. And they were accepted into the church as well. Therefore, every time we are saved, and when we are baptized by the Holy Spirit of God, God shows that when he puts his Spirit into us, that he has put his seal of approval that we are accepted to be saved. Amen. Now, not only that, but also notice, and by the way, the same thing applies to what you all did Sunday night and many, many, many other times here. All those missionaries on the wall that you support. Who would have thought that this little church, the second time that we, Chris and I, second Sunday we were here, there was five of us. And I was baptizing too. And they never supported missionaries. As a matter of fact, the greatest battle I had was with one individual over taking on missionaries here. Probably the richest man I ever had here. And he said the church couldn't afford it. That year that we couldn't afford to give $25 a month, we gave $25,000 that first year. The reason why is because, I tell you, God will bless you when you're praying for the right things. And God will enlarge your coast when you ask God to enlarge your coast. He will allow you to reach out further. And I think of from that battle, that we've come through and we've helped and we've given and buildings we built and vehicles we bought and all kinds of things that we've done to all these lands. Listen, all those places we've enlarged in Russia and we've got Russian-speaking people in New York. We've got all around the world, China, all around the world, enlarging our coast. I'm glad to be a part of it. Man, I thank God when I'm able to give and help in that situation. Not only that, but also notice here, he said, the third thing, he said that thy hand might be with me. Listen, I don't know, Brother Eric, when you did all that stuff, especially when you sold all your possessions and you started, I don't know if you had a feeling like, this is way over my head. But you know what? Anytime we do something, we have to pray that God's hand would be with us. His hand is the power behind us. It's not us. Without Him, we can do nothing. We have to seek His power. And the Holy Spirit of God was sent to the church, not to start the church, but to empower the church. And so therefore, through the Holy Spirit of God, He gives us power. And we go to Him for help when we need. Therefore, that's why He tells us we will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be not drunk in wine with in excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. The reason why is we need His power to get it done. Somebody said, well, preacher, I don't know I can get done. You can't. You say, well, I'm shy or I'm backward. Listen, the more that you fill yourself with the Holy Spirit, it will give you power of God to do things you thought you could never do. It's amazing how God would move. And I know when God called me to preach, I'd stopped coming back from revival. I'd been resisting God, and I surrendered. I was telling some of the boys the other day, they was talking about vehicles. And the night I surrendered, I was driving a pickup truck. Chris and I'd give $200 for. We kind of called it our Flintstone truck. You know why, Brother Jim? The whole floorboard was out of it. I could drive and look at the road underneath my feet. I shouldn't say this, but I think I finally found a road sign and stuck it under my feet so I could have some metal under my feet and not have air. But we gave $200 for it, but I was coming from revival. And boy, God had been dealing with me for 3 nights to surrender. I've been fighting it, hadn't told nobody. And I jerked that truck about a mile from the road, or from the church. I jerked it off the road, and I jumped in the ditch line, and I fell up on my face before God. And I said, God, I can't do this. Amen. And man, He spoke to my heart, and He said, none can without me. I said, God, I need Your hand upon me. And I'm going to tell you something. Any of us that will get ready to ask God to enlarge our coast, bless us, enlarge our coast, and put Your hand upon me. And last thing, look back, and we'll close. He says, and that Thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Thank God that God promises that with every temptation, He will what? He'll make a way of escape. And so I'm so thankful. We have examples in the Bible, Joseph, running, leaving his coat behind. But you have examples of others that fail. Samson. But boy, you think of Samson when the power of God came upon him. As a boy, I used to read Samson. I'd envision him. I envisioned some big old muscular guy walking up the mountain, the gates there with the gates of Gaza on him, and walking up that hill, setting them gates up there, catching 300 foxes and catching their tails on fire. Taking the jawbone of an ass and killing 1,000 Philistines, I would envision that. I'd envision some big old strong might, but now when I envision it, I envision some smaller guy that probably don't look that impressive. But man, when the power of God comes upon him, he can do anything, because the power of God can make accomplish anything. But yet Samson, even though he had the power of God, he quit seeking God's protection from evil. And even though his parents forbid him to go, he would go in forbidden places to find his wife. And therefore it cost him mightily because of that. David as well. And he fell. But what I want you to understand is the Bible tells us that when we are drawn away from sin, I went blank on a minute. I can't think how it starts right now. I went blank. But anyway, in James chapter 1, verse 13 through 15, you can read it yourself. But the Bible teaches us that when we sin, we are not say that we, when we are tempted, we're not be tempted of God. But when we sin, it's because we are drawn away our own lust. And when our lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. So therefore, we can trust God to keep us from evil and to help us and to protect us. And so when we think of Jabez's prayer, I've seen a lot made out of his prayer, but really, to be honest with you, it's things that each one of us can achieve. And God would be glad to hear it when we're not praying amiss and we're asking God to enlarge our coast for his glory, when we're asking God to put his hand upon us and we're asking God to keep us from evil. I believe God honors that kind of prayer, amen. And I believe he blesses us and he puts honor upon us. Amen. Let's stand and give song.